of faith. And I introduce to you now the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a native son of Detroit, Michigan, and our leader always, Imam W. Dean Muhammad.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Our greeting is peace be unto you, and as we say in our Islamic, our religious language, Assalamu alaikum. We praise God and we thank Him for our life, for our being, and for our presence here today, and for the good, beautiful reception that we have been given by the mayor, this city, and you who are attending this affair today. We salute the servants of God from Adam till today. We give the last prophet Muhammad the salutation of the salute, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayers and the peace be upon him. Ameen. I want to begin this address by saying all people are equal in origin, in their original nature, according to revelation given to prophets before Muhammad. And the same was given to Muhammad, the prophet of Arabia, about 14 centuries and so ago. All people come from one origin, one and the same origin. And we are deceived by the enemy of mankind, that is Satan. In our religion, Satan is called the enemy of mankind. Adu wa nas, the enemy of all people. Satan. Shaitan, in the Quranic Arabic language, Shaitan. The Bible talks about inheritance. The Quran talks about inheritance. And if we understand it, our idea, our political idea for this great country, the United States of America, is also established upon a belief in inherent rights or inheritance. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it goes on to say that no government can take these rights away. They are rights that we are born with. So these are rights that the government didn't give us. These are rights that our Creator gave us. And by the way, as the Constitution didn't say Jesus Christ, it didn't say Allah, the first words, in fact, the first five lines, or first five sentences, called ayat, to Muhammad the Prophet, came to him, and the word Allah is not in any of those five sentences. So Muhammad, the first communication he got from God, he didn't learn the name Allah, not from the communication anyway. God says to Muhammad, read. First word to Muhammad, read. First words of the Quran to Muhammad, read, he said, in the name of your Lord who created. The one who created human beings from a congealed blood. Congealed blood. Two lines. Not Allah yet. Then he said again, read, and your Lord is most generous. And the one who taught man how to record, use the pen, the writing pen. And he taught human beings, the human being, what the human being was not before knowing, what he never knew before. These are the five lines. First five lines communicated to Muhammad the Prophet from God. Why am I saying this, that Allah, the name Allah, was not mentioned in the first communication to Muhammad? Why am I saying this? The connection for our life is with creation. So the first way, the first name that was given to Muhammad of God is God the Creator. Since we call God by different names, I'm sure the wise writers and founding fathers of this great political idea that we have in America, I'm sure that they chose not to say Jesus Christ or not to say God. They didn't even say God. Because there'll be many people coming to this democracy, living here. They foresaw that. In fact, that was the invitation from the very beginning. It began with people who were persecuted abroad, overseas, and they came here for a place to live their life of their choice, the life of their choice. So this is a country that's going to be a country of many. And the founding fathers, seeing ahead of time, seeing into the future, use no language that would disrespect any of us or that would exclude any of us. Creator, all of us can accept that equally, because we are equally the creation of God. Adam, in religion, both Quran, Bible, and the Bible and the Quran, our holy book, the Quran, and in the holy book of the Christians, the Bible. In both these books, we have Adam as the name of the first human to exist on this earth. And we are told that this Adam was made, created, pardon me, by God. And he was made from the earth, from the ground. In fact, it says from the dust of the ground, from the dust of the ground, the dust of the earth, he was made. And it goes on to tell us how he became the father of all people, of all people. So we identify in our mortal body and in our original human spirit, we identify with Adam, the first father. Adam, the first father. Now, just reading the story, to me, it sounds like myth, not like reality. It sounds like myth. Because how do you make a man from dust and make dust adhere together, make it hold together with water, say then rain came, and then he formed a man, and make it hold together with water, mud, and breathe into that mud and it become a living soul. To me, that's more like myth than reality. And anybody believe that literally, you're not ready to help Detroit or the neighborhood I'm living in or any other place. Okay. You have a problem. And really, these stories are for children. And the men know how to translate those stories. If you're a man, you're supposed to know how to translate the story. I don't mean man in the world. I mean man in knowledge. I'm not talking about a man in the world. Because we know many men in the world, they can't read at all. No. But if you're a man in knowledge, you're supposed to know how to translate that and see it in reality. No. In his first picture, that it presents is nothing but myth. It has to be understood. I once said on a radio program, and I was then rejected by my father. I was not inside of his organization called the Nation of Islam at that time. And I was trying to get back in. In fact, he had permitted me to come to him, his house, and I could attend, but he was not permitting me to lecture, to give speeches. So they thought they would get me put back out, put me out again, the officers of the Nation of Islam. When they got the tape, they thought they had something to get me put out so I would never come and speak again. So they gave it to my father. I didn't know he had it. So at the Sunday dinner, he invited me to come to the Sunday dinner, and I was sitting at the table there. He said, "Son, we want to play a tape." I didn't know what it was, but I've never been afraid of anything I do or say. I've never been afraid of anything I did or said, because I'm always trying to say the right thing. And when you know you're trying to do right, you're not afraid. So anyway, they played the tape. And then at one part, at place in the tape, my father, he was sickly too. He stood up and thought, and he said, "My son's got it." Now this is before you all knew that I was going to be a leader soon, because he was sick at that time. Wasn't 2 years before I was a leader. Anyway, he said, "My son's got it." And he looked at my mother. My mother was sitting there. Now this is about, my mother's in the, can't recall it, maybe 72, maybe 1972, around there, somewhere around there, right about around there. And he looked at my mother, he said, "Isn't that right, Clara?" And my mother, that bright smile, she was very dark-skinned, and the teeth, and she smiled, and just, her face looked like the sun. And she was smiling with that bright smile, and she said, "Yes." Say, "This is what we've been waiting for." As my father said, now he got me baffled. What in the world did I say? I wonder what I said. But as I thought about it and thought about it, I said, "I know what he's. I know what I moved him." Because in the book, the lady, I got her attention too. The interviewer, I got her attention too. She said, "I wish you would, you would do more on that topic." I said, "I plan to write a book on it one day." She said, "Will you please come back to my show when you do?" I said, "Yes." The title of my talk on the show was "Myths, the Burden on America." That was the title of my talk, "Myths, the Burden on America." Now, I hope you'll understand where I was coming from as I go on with this address. When we identify with Adam, we should understand that Adam is to have us identify with Mother Earth, with the ground, with the land. He created the man from the earth. Now, if I would just tell you that all that was said there mean that he made the first man an industrialist, would you believe me? Your father, your first father was an industrialist. That's what that means. That story is to tell you your first father was an industrialist, and he was made by God. He had the human nature and the spirit that God wanted in him, and he was an industrialist. If you read the Bible, Genesis, you'll see that all of the builders, all of the metal workers came from Adam. It doesn't say he made Adam and then say this one preached the word of God and had the Holy Ghost. No, he made Adam and then industry comes. Metal workers, industry. The farmers and all. They come behind Adam. So Adam is not the story of the Holy Ghost. Adam is the story of natural man, interested in the environment that God put him in, and having a spirit to develop that environment. God created all of us to have a spirit to develop our environment. Whether it's land unoccupied, like Adam, he was the first one to occupy the land, or whether it's a city that needs our help. God has created us to engage our environment and make it more beautiful and make it more productive. If this is a message from God, then this is a message that awakens my intelligence, it awakens my creativity, it awakens my spirit to achieve wonders in this universe. And those who have achieved wonders in this universe, they have followed the true tradition of our first father, Adam. Those who have built cities, made roads, connected continents, put a higher form of transportation in the air. These are the ones that have followed the tradition of Adam. Now, Adam is not our only father. Am I taking the myth out of this a little bit for you? I hope I am. We're trying to separate myth from religion. You know, the Holy Ghost is good and bad. It is. It's bad for those who think they got God's spirit, but they're behaving as though they got the Holy Ghost. So those who have that kind of Holy Ghost, it's bad. I think Paul addresses that in the Bible. He said, those who speak in tongues, they can only understand it. Well, I want to tell Paul, not even them, not even they understand it. He said, but what we need is to edify, to put common sense together, put reason on reason, logic upon logic. So that's what we need to do, give some construction to the thing. That's what Paul says. I'm elaborating on it, but that's what Paul said. All right. Now, there was a great man, mysterious, but when you get to know him, he's not mysterious at all. And I'm talking about the man that took my father off the streets of this city, lost it during the Depression, not having any faith in the future. He never was a churchgoer. His father was a Baptist preacher, Willie Poole, who later wore the name Wali Muhammad, my grandfather, that I loved so much. When he died, I wanted to die with him. Yes, he was the first man to father me. My father was away and serving a 5-year prison term, but my grandfather, he had my grandfather and my grandmother come and live with us while he was away. So our first father I knew in my house was my grandfather. I didn't know my father until I was about 13, almost 14 years old, before I knew my father inside the house. But he was in there. And I was obeying him. Because if I didn't, my mother would kill me. Yeah, she took care of whatever her husband couldn't take care of, she took care of it in that house. That's right. My mother, Clara Muhammad, Clara Evans Muhammad, both from Georgia, father and mother. So anyway, the mysterious man, Mr. W.D. Farad, he's called Farad Muhammad, and Wali Farad, he's called by different names, but the more common names for him in the writings that we have and also in the teachings we have is W.D. Farad. And you'll find W.D. Farad in the dictionary, in the encyclopedia, you'll find it W.D. Farad. So Mr. W.D. Farad was a very wise man, and he knew that if he was going to change the uneducated African Americans, see, an educated African American has a different attitude. Once he's educated, he's got a different attitude. Mr. Farad didn't want any of them. He said, Du Bois tried to get them and bring changes for for blacks with them. I'm gonna do something different. He said, I'm going after those who are uneducated. So he came to the slums of Detroit, and he gathered around him a good number of poor people, not only poor in their pockets, but poor in education and culture. And he knew that they hadn't been given English 102 or higher English. They hadn't studied literature to learn how to translate fiction or translate allegory or allegorical language. They couldn't read Gulliver's story and translate it. You know, he knew that. So he's dealing with people, he's dealing with people who are uneducated, but they're under the rule of darkness. Because if you, Margaret Mead, I think it was, she said only the educated are free. Now, I would have to add to that, only when the educated are free from myth. They can be educated, but if they're still not free from myth, they're not free. You're only free when you're free from myth. I'm not going to tell you, spell out the myth that you are under. I'll leave that for you to do. But most people are under myth, the rule of myth. They're under the rule of myth. They're controlled by myth in their life, not by reality. And Satan loves that. The shaitan, the enemy of God, the enemy of mankind. He loves that you be under myth and not under reality. God wants us under reality and under him who created the reality that we identify as reality. He created all of that. And we want, he wants, and we want all of us to be under the authority of God. But if the authority of God is confused, and we are made to see God in some myth, we'll be deprived of God as the rule in our life. Yes. Mr. Farad was an Asian, and we were told he was from the Far East. But again, we know Mecca is not Far East, so we were told he's from the Near East, or from the Middle East, probably, the Middle East, too. But we have concluded that he was from the Far East. He was from Asia. He did something that made possible my freedom. My foreparents were freed by the emancipation of our people, free from physical enslavement. You can take a free man and put him in chains, limit his physical movement. He will not be a slave necessarily, even though you're making him do everything. He will still be a free man, though you have him chained, although you have him in prison, although you have his movement, his physical movements restricted. He will still be a free man in a body that you have enslaved. You won't be able to enslave his spirit. You won't be able to enslave his mind. He'll be a free man, though he'll be your captive, your prisoner. The wiser ones who wanted to use us and not see us enjoy this country as free people with them, and they were many, not limited to the South, Northeast, Midwest, everywhere. They were many. They didn't have to worry about us being physically free as long as we were mentally enslaved. So Mr. Farrar was a very wise man. He said, I'm going to work a strategy that will free them, and they will no longer be mentally enslaved. So he said he come to resurrect, using his words, to resurrect, give life again to dead. He come to resurrect the mentally dead, using his exact language. He said he come to resurrect the mentally dead. I believe God was with him. I don't think a man could do this all by himself. I have been created from my father and mother's flesh. I have been created. And I don't think a man could do that without the help of God. No. So anyway, he told my father that you shouldn't believe in the Bible, shouldn't believe in Christianity. He said, that's to enslave you. That was given you to you to enslave you. I'm not knocking the church or Christianity, but I have to recognize what worked in this formula that was used by this man to make a new people of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and those who would follow him. I have to recognize that. Okay. Because I know there are some Christians, I met some Christians, some very wonderful Christians, very wise Christians, and they know how to separate stories and fiction from truth. All Christians are not living in the dark. So I know that, you know. and as long as we have alive people in heaven watching over us, we can't fare too bad on earth. but what about those who get separated from even their help coming from the live people up there? Like most of us have done. Most of us, even the preachers, and I know some of you are here today. Some of you are here wearing Muslim names, some of you Christian preachers. I know you very well. You're here today. You're here every time I speak. Every time it's announced that I'm going to speak, you're here. I don't blame you. You're doing right to come, brother. Yeah. Some of you all have gotten out of touch yourself with the spirit that you should be in and with the mental disposition that you should be in. You've gotten out of touch with it. You're no longer respecting God as he should be respected. You preachers, you're no longer respecting scripture, revealed scripture, as it should be respected. You're preaching for results in the people. You're preaching to make the people happy. You're preaching to make the people give you money. You're preaching to make the people love you. You're too selfish to get back connected with the true human spirit and human life that God wants for us. We got to stop being selfish. God is charitable, and he created us to be charitable. God loves to give, and he created us to love giving. We have to love giving more than we love getting. And when we love giving more than we love getting, God will be with us. We'll come into the right spirit, and the people will love us even more. And if the world is intended for you, you'll get it. You are not going to get anything that God doesn't want you to have. You can be holy and saintly and the best person in the world. And even God loves you for being so good. But if God knows that a lot of money is going to make your life worse or put you in a position to make somebody else's life worse, maybe God won't want that for you. Maybe you let the Satan and some of Satan followers have that. Yes, praise be to God. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, praise be to God. Yes, so here is the great wisdom of Mr. Farad. He said, I'm going to kill history. I'm going to destroy history. And that's what he did. He destroyed history for my father and for his followers. He told us, don't believe history. Then he attempted to give us a history. And he did the same thing that the world did to the people. He gave us a history that was myth. He said, the black man is God. Now, you know, if you believe you're God, who you gonna go to for questions? Who you gonna go to for answers to questions? He said, you God. Now, where you gonna go to have somebody answer your question? The man goes, why? Why? Powerful psychology. Powerful psychology. If I can get these dumb, uneducated blacks to believe this myth, and they hold on to it, when they ever get themselves together, they're going to be independent. You following me? And he said, I come on July the 4th, the Independence Day of the United for the People of America. July the 4th. That is to say, I come for the same thing you all got, you white folks in America. You got your independence, but you got black people here that come from Africa, that you brought from Africa, and they are not independent because they are not in their natural minds. They are living under the burden of darkness. Now I'm going to come and I'm going to wake them up mentally. And when they find themselves, they are going to be standing on their own ground and thinking independently. And thinking independently. Praise be to Allah. It worked. He killed history. He destroyed them, the history that we learned in school. He destroyed it. Told us don't believe a word of it. She said the world was not began as they say it began. Now, let me address myth again. The Roman people, they have the story of their beginning as Romans. How do they know their beginning? Who knows their beginning? Nobody knows their beginning. Like we don't know our birth. Our family, our parents have to tell us our birth. Who witnessed his own birth and can remember it? Nobody. So no people know their beginning. They know only what was written, what they learned later. And God knew that all of us would want to know, where do we begin? Well, in Africa. Well, how much that can tell us nowadays? That can't tell us very much. And the way we've been scattered, and the different places they got us, from which they got us, we don't know whether to go to Ghana, Sudan. One guy said he knew where to go, and he found Kunta Kinte. Alex Haley, who wrote the popular book, you know, the very popular book, Alex Haley. Well, when he said Kunta Kinte, I said, yeah. I said, he's beginning in myth, not reality. Well, Kunta Kinte means Kunta you were. Kinte, you were, twice, masculine and feminine. Feminine. That's supposed to be the name of the person he found, you know. All fabricated. You all can believe it if you want it, but I believe his connection with his ancestors was fabricated. Yes. Not a great book, though. I bought it, and I don't regret that I bought it and read it. A great book and a great story that we saw in movies and TV. Great story. Yes. So myth is the beginning of most people's history. All nations' history began in myth. The Egyptians' history began in myth. The Romans' history began with two wolves. Two boars and a wolf. Two boars were separated from their parents, and they were found by a she-wolf. And the she-wolf nursed them, the babies. They were babies, needed to be nursed, infants. And the she-wolf nursed them. And they got healthy and got strong. And one of the brothers was a little bit too silly. One was serious-minded, the other silly-minded. So they came to the city, to the place where Rome would be established. And one brother was able to cross over and get into that area. The other brother was not. The one left behind, that the silly one was left behind. Isn't that a great story for the Roman people? To tell them that you all are descended from the smart one, not the dumb one, not the dull one. You all are descended children of the mature one, not the immature one. That's a nice story for the ego of the Roman people. So if they did it, what's wrong with Mr. Farrar doing it for us? So their beginning is in a story, in fiction, in a lie, not the truth, you know? And as I said, so it is for every other people. We came from Africa, and Africa was never united, and it's not united yet. Africa was never united. They identified by tribal language and tribal ways, folk ways. That's how they identified. The people of Egypt are mostly the same. The Egyptians are mostly the same. But the people of Africa vary so much, so widely. South Africans, North Africans, the Bush people, they vary so widely. And they have so many different languages that they speak. And maybe that's the reason why the continent is in such bad shape today, because they haven't found unity. Now, it really hurts me to know that Christianity was there, still there. Christianity and Islam, these two great religions, are both on these continents, but it has not yet stood the Africans up as a people of the continent. These two great religions have not stood them up and united them as citizens on equal playing with each other. Our founding fathers did it for the citizens of this country, but no one has been able to do it yet for the people who live on that continent we call Africa the dark continent. It's still dark. Not with people. It's dark with ignorance. Ignorance of their true calling in this world, in this material world. God willing, there will come a change there soon, I hope. A big change. Even if I have to go over there with a new myth. And preach a story to get them to have faith in themselves and a higher evaluation of human life. See, when you get the truth from God, you get the true evaluation of human life. And once you have your true evaluation, you just can't treat yourself like you're a dog or an inferior thing. No, you can't do that. You respect yourself. When you get true evaluation of the self, the high self that God made when he made a human being, then you will be careful not to mistreat yourself. That was another thing Mr. Farrar said, know self. Know yourself. And he didn't say yourself as a black man. He gave us a kind of catechism. like they give the Catholic, like the Catholic Church has. He said, and who is my own self? What is my own self? Then he gives the answer, like a catechism. My own self is a righteous Muslim. So he told us to identify ourselves as Muslim. Now, after studying this religion over many years now, since I became aware of what Ms. Farad taught us, well, my mother had me memorize those things, not just me. The Muslim sisters, the grown-up, had themselves and their children memorize those things. You had to commit it to memory. Know it by heart, as we used to say, by heart, know it by heart. So anyway, since then, I have studied it. And in Islam, in the Quran and the teachings of Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, we have two definitions for Muslim. Or if I was writing a dictionary, I would put two entries for Muslim. First entry would be believers in God and believers in Muhammad as the last prophet with the final revelation, the Quran. That's just short. That'd be a short entry. So that's entry number one. What would be the second one? Muslim, the original unspoiled nature of every human being. The first Adam, the first and unspoiled, the original, the first, and the unspoiled nature of every human being. And I guess the Christians are saying the same thing when they say Christ in you. Christ, the prophet, or the Messiah, prophet, and Christ in every person. Because Jesus Christ is the one who told them to say that, according to the gospel. Christ said, I in you, and you in me, meaning that we both are having the same essence. Our human essence is one. But my spirit is different from yours. His spirit was from God. But his flesh was same as our flesh. And he said, I and you and me. But I'm sure he was not identifying all of us in our present makeup, in our present mental and spiritual makeup. In our present spiritual and mental makeup, over 90% of us are not true human. We are not true descendants of Adam, meaning that we are in the true human nature that God created. We're not in it. We have been taken out of that original nature that God put us, that God made for us when he made our father, Adam. We have been taken out of it. And we know that the story of Adam is that he was seduced to come out of his nature. So he lost his nature too, to the subtle words of the Satan when he was whispering into his soul, into Adam's soul. And he sold Adam on a different mind for his life. He sold Adam a different mind for his life. God had created him with a right mind, and then the Satan sold him on a different mind and caused him to fall from the high place that God had put him in when he made him, the fall of man, the fall of mankind. Though we have preachers preaching scripture, most of us are not in our true human form. If we were, we would be doing better with our human life. Mr. Farad told us that history began for us every 25,000 years. He said every 25,000 years, the wise among the black man write history to last for another 25,000 years. And he told us that the white man was created or made by a black scientist whose name was Jacob, that a black man made the white race by weakening the genes for pigmentation or color in the black man, he was able to eventually make a white man. Well, I'd like to tell Mr. Farage that we gave birth to white people long before that. Black man gives birth to an albino. Albino means white. So you're just talking about pigmentation. Black people have always given birth to white. Black people have always given birth to white babies. They're called albinos. With weak eyes, sometimes the eyes so weak they be dancing in the head. Eyeball muscle cannot be controlled. Weak. They're weak. And the skin white. That's no big deal for us, having white babies. But just think, you know, here's a black family, and the baby come out white. And nobody's upset. Nobody says, take that little baby on and just, no big deal. I got me one that needs some sunlight now. But you let a white family up north in Europe see a black one coming out of there. That'll be the end for the whole family. Whole family will be out of their mind, and no hospital will be able to bring them back to sanity. See, nature prepares us. Nature prepares us. And whites are not prepared because that doesn't happen in white folks. They don't have black babies. They have albinos, but they're whiter. They just come out whiter than the white folks. Well, we have one that's a great contrast, and it doesn't upset us. I guess that's why we come straight from slavery, still held down and mistreated. But if a white woman say, I want you to come and live with me and take care of my children, we get in that house and be a better mother sometime than the white woman, than the real mother. Yeah, go in there and be a better mother than the real mother. And if we all come to our true human identity and see that that's the first identity, and that's the most important identity, and you know the Bible says, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now, I can see that happening. I can see that have been fulfilled in the world. The first identity was us identifying as human. Human. Not as Africans and Asians and Europeans. As human. Not as black and white and red. As human. Not as Americans and Chinese. Or, no. As human. That's the first identity. The Bible says that the first shall be last. That first have become last. We put our black skin before our human identity. We put our American citizenship before our human identity. We're Americans. We know that. That's first. We're Americans. Oh, I'm an African American. I'm a black American. I'm a Polish American. I'm a Jewish American, or whatever. We put these identities, and these identities have separated us from the original identity. I said this at another previous engagement I had this year, and I will say it again here. If you put your color, your ethnicity, or your race, or anything else on you as an identity, and you lose, get out of touch, you lose the awareness that you are human first, those identities are going to fail you. They're going to fail you. They're going to end up contributing to your deterioration. Get you in serious trouble in time. How can a person be a racist if they are first grounded upon their human identity? How can they be racist? No way. So Satan has to make you forget your human identity to make you a racist, to turn you against your brothers and sisters in humanity. If we get back in touch with our identity that God gave us, that He gives us when He say, you all are the children of Adam, we can make great progress. Your soul will be lifted up. The burden will be taken off your soul. Your mind will awaken to do greater and more beautiful things. Yes, you'll be free. And our religion, false worship, is the worst form of oppression. Now, African Americans, when we think of oppression, we think of white supremacy. We think of our circumstances as slaves on the plantation. We think of discrimination, segregation, and all the wrong done to us by white folks when we think of oppression. But that's not the worst oppression. The worst oppression is for you to have a false authority over your life. Now, in ancient times, in my conclusion, in ancient times, medieval times too, but in ancient times, images were made of the powers and authorities that were working and ruling in the life of people. They made images for them of people who love sex, and sex seemed to have been the main driving force in their life. They were given a deity that meant sex, having sex. And they would worship that deity. Yes, they would have celebrations and dance and shout and everything around that sex organ. This is history. This is history, brothers and sisters. And you know Africa, the name Africa, it goes back to a mythical deity, a female, Aphrodite. If you say she is an Aphrodite, you mean she's oversexed. She wants it too often and too much. So we have to understand these myths, how these myths have come into our life. Now, we have more gods in this modern time than the medieval people had in their time, or than the ancient people had in their time. We just haven't given images for them. Most of us are worshiping sex organs. Your God is a sex organ. You just haven't made an image of Him yet. And you have many, many gods. So let us separate myth from religion and be truly free. Thank you. Peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you very much, Brother Imam. Can everyone please keep your seats as the Imam leaves? We would like to take another collection. If you could be so kind to be generous and continue to help the efforts of our lead Imam, W.D. Muhammad, and the Mars Cares. Takbir. 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 So please, if the brothers can come around with the receptacles again for our... Please, if you're leaving, please leave your donation at the door, if you will. Thank you. Please leave your donation at the door. You're leaving in crowds, but please leave it at the door. We'd appreciate it very much. Gotta move it. Now the movie, they're waiting, they're at the door. You're going to have to catch them at the door now. Please, take your time on the way out.